Let us look to the Lord in prayer.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing unto your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Shalom. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? During this time of the year, there are many, many gatherings. Either you host or you attend parties. And in celebration, we can always be sure that it's going to be very noisy, right? At home, just had one yesterday night, and it feels like my house is like a playground. You know, kids taking remote control and throwing remote control all around. And while I was preparing to serve, and then my heart's kind of dropped, you know, and things like that. It's very noisy, you know, but full of joy, you know, full of joy. Even there's no party going on. I don't know about your HDB blocks or where you are staying. There are shouts of joy because Manchester United won 4-1. Arsenal won also, Tottenham won also, and then you can hear literally hear. I can literally hear, go, you know, and we know World Cup is coming. I know it's going to be noisy. If we can celebrate with great zeal, can we not celebrate God with the same zeal? Psalms 100 is the only psalm that is labeled as a psalm of thanksgiving. It's as if the writer is saying, if you want to know how to thank the Lord, let me show you the way. It is a psalm of giving thanks. And as you move from the title to the text, the first verse of the psalm, made up of five directives to offer grateful praise to God. The point of the whole sermon is this. It is our duty to give thanks to God for who He is and for what He has done. Thanksgiving is a duty. It is not about a day or a calendar. It is not just one day before the year ends. And we hope to do that. But we hope that Saturday service will be filled with people of thanksgiving. That we have a culture of thanking the Lord and thanking one another. Yes. Psalms 100 issues a twofold call of worship. First, in verse 1 and 2, we are commanded to be joyful. The fact that we are commanded to be joyful tells us something. Something about the nature of joy. That joy can be ordered. The fact meaning that joy is not happiness. Happiness is based upon what happens. Happiness is thing-centered, people-centered, event-centered. And that's why happiness is so fickle. Because if we lose the stuff, we lose our happiness. Today, many of us have a lot of gifts because it's Christmas. But once the gift, the novelty of the gift wears off, are we still thankful? But joy, real joy, is not thing-centered, people-centered, or event-centered. It is God-centered. This is why I can have joy no matter what I'm going through. Because no matter what shifts, change, alters, God's nature, character, ways, remains always the same. If God is who God is, He is still alive and is in charge and cares for me, I have the reason to rejoice no matter what I'm going through. Therefore, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice not because of the gift, but the giver. So the text commands us to be joyful. This verse also tells us how to be joyful. In verse 1 and 2, we are told to worship joyfully. Indeed, worship is serious, sacred, and spiritual. Thank you, Matt and the team, the two of them, actually. They led us so beautifully into the presence of God. In worship, you have an audience before the Creator, Sustainer, the ruler of heaven and earth. In worship, the creature comes before the Creator, the finite comes before the infinite, the weak comes before the omnipotent. The foolish come before the wise, the all-wise, and the sinful comes before the holy. Worship is serious. If you are here on time, you notice that when I said the absolution, I said it differently. I say it differently because I want you to know that I am not holy. Only God is holy. I didn't say your sins are pardoned, your sin, but our sins are pardoned. We are in this together. Yes, pastors do sin. We all sin. We all know that we need God. And it's always my privilege and my joy to impart the Word of God to you. And I take it very seriously because it is the sacred Word of God. The Christian faith is formed and forged through the Word of God. Amen? But note that the psalmist does not say, in light of how serious worship is, when we come before God, we ought to be in somber attitude, all sad and cringy, like the Grinch. On the contrary, he says, when we worship God, worship ought to be marked by joy. What does that joy in God looks like? The first imperative of the text is this: shout. Shout. I was thinking as I write this script, should I shout? I was thinking, better not. Spare your ears. Verse 1 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. The first four words of the verse say, make a joyful noise. Render one Hebrew word that can be translated simply as shout. Shout. When you are joyful, don't you shout and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, or thank you, or something like that. It is to make a loud and joyful announcement of triumph. It's like a soldier has won a victory on the battlefield. He is saying, church, worship shouldn't be like we are stuck in the traffic or sitting in the library. When we come before the holy God, an awesome God, a mighty God, we ought to come before Him with joyful shouts or praise. Are there other ways to make a joyful noise in worship? Yes, the liturgy of worship often includes public prayers, beautifully led by our intercessors, litanies, calls to worship, scripture reading. The readers have always been reading so well, proclaiming the word and passing the peace. Yes, passing the peace. The joyful noise of chatter during the passing of peace indicates a community delighting in each other's company. Amen? Wow. I hope we delight in each other's company. If not, heaven will be hell for us. Just joking. Really, yeah. I really hope and really pray that we are God's community. No doubt, as a family, we are about 250 of us, average attendance, no doubt. So, not big, not small, but just nice. But I pray that it will continue to grow because we are continuing doing the Great Commission with the Great Commandment of God. But no doubt, there will be times where we rub each other in the wrong way and there will be sparks. Don't wait until when the peace comes and just go there and just shake hands. Or don't even, you know, sit near that person that you just don't like. Or that person that smells really bad. Or whatever it is. I pray that the church starts here. And when we go out, we will be the church. The lifting up of personal concerns during prayer provides a channel for hope and healing. Even the shifting and coughing during silence is a reminder of our humanity and of God's loving care for us all. The congregation later praying together the Lord's Prayer in perfect cadence as one voice, a sound that strengthens us. There will be time where we pray loudly. There will be time we pray softly. There will be time We don't even know how to pray. But we know the Lord guides and leads us in prayer. Also notice the text says we ought to shout to the Lord all the earth. I think the Holy Spirit put that in there for some of us who says that shouting is just not my style. That's not my culture. That's not my background. It doesn't have anything to do with our education, our sophistication, our context, our culture, our background. It's what our mother told us, that our mother says, if somebody does something good to you, you ought to say thank you. And if God has been so good to us, amen, we ought not to be ashamed and tell him, thank you, Lord, with a shout. And verse 2 says, serve. Serve is similar to worship. To serve the Lord is to worship the Lord. The emphasis of the word here, serve, means that God expects us to be an active participant in worship. Worship is not a spectator sport. The command to serve the Lord means we have a personal responsibility to offer service to the Lord. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 tells us, in light of God's mercy, us should present our body as sacrifice that lives holy and acceptable and pleasing to God, which is the least we can do in light of all. With all that God has done for us. I have a question for all of us. Is God sufficient for you? If God is sufficient for us, then whatever that God has supplied us, He only asks us to share it with others, and that is service. D.L. Moody once said, the measure of a man or woman is not how many servants he has, but how many men he serves. Count it a privilege to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to do whatever the Lord has called us to do. When the Lord asks us to serve him, the psalmist says, don't do it complaining, ritualistically, grudgingly, mechanically. Serve the Lord with gladness. The command in the second part of the verse 2 is to come. This is a divine invitation. God invites us to come to worship Him. God wants your presence, your fellowship, your communion. And that is why later we're going to have a family meal, a communion. Not any communion, just us, but the Lord invites us. That's the privilege of worship. Let's think about that. God has weak people like me and you on his mind and says, come into my presence. Most of us will likely never get an invitation, an Istana invitation to meet the president. How many of you met the president in Istana? Not the one, the public holiday, the one that, you know, the one that you go into the office. How many of you? Wow. We are not at that level. How much more are we not at God's level? Right? When you woke up this morning, or some of us this afternoon, the living God was beating our hearts, your hearts, come into my presence. What a privilege. Maybe that's why the psalmist says, I was glad. Just the invitation to be in God's presence one more time is a blessing for which we ought to rejoice. God says, come into my presence. And he says, I've only got one requirement as you come. Just one requirement. When you come, come into my presence with singing. Hallelujah. and not come into my presence with your hair combed like Matthew, Peter. When you come, come into my presence with singing. We ought not to rush into God's presence. Sometimes we come to God's presence and we ask questions, we complain, we request, we treat Him like a fish. He says we ought to come into His presence with songs of praise. Don't miss the praise part. There's a church down the road who likes, we have congregation who will miss the praise part. Not this congregation, I know. Let's be punctual. Let's be early. I know it is a struggle. Sometimes we have kids and it is a struggle. But all things are possible. Amen. He says we ought to come before Him with songs of praise. We can see how generous and good God is. He doesn't even care if we can't sing. You sing out of tune. It's okay. I thank God for worship teams. Yes, and all the assembly. But don't let singers do our worshiping for us. Our worship team sings very well. Not just this team, but every team sings very well. Disclaimer. But don't let them replace our singing. This is not a show for somebody to entertain us. It's not entertainment time. The worship team are exalting us to join in the praises of the living God. Don't let somebody else do your worship. Do your praise. Praise God anyway. Learn the new songs. Learn all new songs. Why I say that? Because this year when I had the opportunity to lead in praise and worship in the church camp, all were old songs and I led the songs and I could only hear my voice. Yes, my voice is very loud. Then later, Jamie told me very, very discreetly, he said, "Pastor, all those songs that you choose are new songs to us." I said, "Huh?" Anyway, learn new songs, learn old songs, because some old songs are new songs to us. If you know what the Lord has done for us, we might not be able to sing, but we ought to have a song. We ought to come to the presence of God with singing. The text says, worship, worship joyfully. There is also another command in verse 3. It is the command to know. Verse 1 and 2 says, if you are going to worship right, you've got to feel something, joy, gladness, and a heart that has a song. Now verse 3 says that worship isn't just about feeling. You need to know. To worship is to ascribe worth. How can we ascribe worth to a being that we don't know? The psalmist says if we are going to worship God right, we need to know Him. We need to know God. We need to not just know Him in an intellectual, theological, or even experiential sense. We need to acknowledge Him, that His presence is here. It means more than just to know. It means to act upon what we know. Because when we know, and we know that God is here, we will react differently. Amen? Author of this book, Wishful Thinking, defines what is Christians, what a Christian is, sorry. He says in the final analysis, Christians are not necessarily nicer people than everybody else. We are just better informed. It's true, but I hope that it's not just that, but we will be nicer people. If you are in Christ, you know some stuff that the world doesn't know. The text says we ought to act upon what we know who God is. We need to know that God is God alone. Know that the Lord, He is God. That this is why we can thank God no matter what is going on. Because God is not on the board of gods negotiating the outcome of the situations. He is God all by Himself. Or as they taught me to sing when I was in the Sunday school, He got the whole world. He got the whole wide world. Wow. God is in the one, it's the one and only true and living God. God is too great of a God. Exodus chapter 20 verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only God. The Lord is one. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to calf idols. God is too great of a God to share His throne with anybody else. So the psalmist says, if you want to learn how to be grateful in whatever seasons, then you've got to recognize that God is God all by Himself. But not only that, God is our Creator. It is He who has made us, and we are His. You are not mine. I am not yours. We are God's. I didn't die for you. If I die, I cannot talk to you now. Jesus did. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. He made us and not we ourselves, says the King James Version. But the more accurate meaning is He that has made us, and as a result, we are His. Under the new covenant, we have a greater reason for praise. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. God takes care of what it belongs to Him. You want to know how God takes care of those He belongs to, take care of what belongs to Him? The text says we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God is the shepherd. We are His sheep. We can run to the cross and trust in Him who declares, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. The good news is that God will be our shepherd. Just like what the psalmist David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And because He is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is all sufficient. He is greater than anything else and whatever circumstances that we go through. Everything I need, my shepherd provides. Every single day, if you are lacking something, not just one, not wants, but needs, we need to continue to recite Psalms 23 to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Because when I get hungry, every time I get hungry, He makes me lie down in green pasture. I know we don't eat grass. Walang bo jia chao. All right. We don't eat grass, but sheep eat grass. You get it? Right. Okay. When I get thirsty. When I get thirsty, I am thirsty now. He leads me beside still waters. You know how difficult it is to drink when waters are not still? Those of you who have gone to Brunei, you will understand for training. When I stray away, He restores my soul. When I don't know which way to go, He leads me in path of righteousness for His name's sake. When I'm in dark valleys, I fear no evil. Because my shepherd is with me, His rod and His staff, they comfort me. How many of us are going through the dark valleys in life? This verse is for you. Even James, not this James, but the book of James, says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy. Be joyful. Because the Lord is mighty to save. So know and acknowledge that God is your creator and shepherd. That is why we can be joyful. There's a simple structure in Psalms 100. It is a call to worship in verse 1 and 2. And then there's a reason for that call to worship in verse 3. Then that format is repeated again in verse 4 and verse 5. There is a call to worship in verse 4 and the reason for the call to worship in verse 5. A little boy was asked by his father to say grace at the table. While the rest of the family waited, the little guy eyed every dish of food his mother had prepared. After examination, he bowed his head and in honest prayer, Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it and I'll eat it anyway. Amen. Here in verse 4, as the writer commands us to be thankful, he orders us to approach God with grateful thanks, grateful praise. Again, God is inviting us into his presence, but with the invitation that there is a requirement, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. We should not come to worship and then decide if we feel like worshiping today or not. We ought to enter with thanksgiving and praise. I know we all know that, but it is about the will. I will, no matter what the week has been, no matter what I'm going through, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Verse 1 through 4 tells us how to worship. Shout, serve, come, know, enter, give thanks, and bless his holy name. And now in the final verse, the psalmist says, let me tell you why you should do it. You have three reasons. Reason number one, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness is to all generations. In spite of what we are going through, the Lord is good. Good is a statement of God's character. There is no spot, nor blemish, nor fault, nor flaws in God. Everything about God is good. Not only of his character is good, his ways are good. Everything God does is good. His plans are good. His purpose are good. His provision are good. His protection is good. His pardon for our sin is good. All that God does is good, meaning he is the source of everything you need in life. We all need that. We ought to praise him because the Lord is good. Amen. We ought to praise him because his steadfast love endures forever. Steadfast love, translated Hesed, which is the covenant love of God. The New King James calls it mercy. NIV calls it unfailing love. New American Standard calls it loving kindness. It means loyal love. It is the best described in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. It says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you, sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Meaning if God changed his ways, they will all be wiped away. He says the reason why they are not consumed is because I don't change. Because of God's loyal love, steadfast love, God will not change his mind about us even when we change our mind about him. We may know what it is like to stray away from God and get so far. We think we can never get back, and if we make it back, we feel like God will never ever accept us after we did what we did for a very long time. At some point, we make a U-turn in our lives. We bounce back because of the ground. There's nowhere to go. We bounce back in our lives and come back to a place where we walk away. And we found out that while we walk away, God has been standing there waiting on us the whole time so he can give us another chance. That's how good God is. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generation. Some of us need to bring this message to people whom we know who have backslid, who have strayed away so far. God has not forgotten them. This is a summary of the character of God. God is good. God is love. God is faithful. These are the three reasons we should praise God for. Know that God's love, goodness, and faithfulness are not just theological proposition. They are a living person. God's goodness has a name. God's love has a face. God's faithfulness became pierceable. He chose to die rather than give up on us. So we praise God for Jesus Christ, who lived the life we could never live and who died the death we should have died, so that by his blood and righteousness we can be restored to a living God. Don't you think God is worthy of praise? I once had an opportunity, I close with this story, I once had an opportunity to minister to an elderly lady in church. She will pray the same prayer, "Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus," every week, week in and week out. There was a prayer, "Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus." Kids laughed because they knew that she was going to pray that every time. "Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus." Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I asked her politely, "Say, why do you pray the same little prayer?" She said, "Well, I'm just combining the two prayers that I know." She says, In the 60s, I live in a bad neighborhood, and some nights there are gangs fights outside my house, and have to grab my daughter and hide, and in desperate state, all I know was to cry out to God and say, "Oh Lord." But when we are okay, I say, "Thank you, Jesus." When I take my daughter to the bus stop and she gets on to the bus, and I don't know what's going to happen to her while she's away, I cry out to God and say, "Oh Lord." And then when the bus arrives and my daughter is safe at home, I say, "Thank you, Jesus." She said, "Those are the only two prayers I know. When I get to church, God has been so, so good. I just put my two prayers together. Oh Lord, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus." Today, what are you thankful for? Praise is thanksgiving. Worship is being truly present to God. As we bask in God's presence, let the glad noise begin. So long as we are receivers of God's mercy, we must be givers of thanks. Amen. It has been 11 months with you since February to now, and the Lord has been gracious. You have been gracious to me. You have been so welcoming to me and my family. And I thank each and every one of you. And may we and may God continue to empower us to go for greater heights in the year 2020. Let's pray.
I think it's only appropriate for us at this point of time to just give in, to give thanks to God for all that He has done, seen and unseen. And to lift up praise to Him. And to thank Him for the salvation He has given to us. Families that He has placed us in. Friends that we can confide with. Spiritual friends. Thank God for this church, this place, this venue. So much things to thank for. But most of all, thank God for His goodness, His love, and His faithfulness. Father, one thing and one thing only do we desire, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whether be it here in our workplace, in our family, in the houses that we stayed in, Lord, may Your presence, Lord, be so ever real in our life. That as we shout, as we praise You, as we know You, Father, we pray that, Lord, You inhabit the praises of Your people. May You come like never before. Thank You for year 2019. Thank You for all that You are doing, Lord. The good, then also the challenging ones, Father, that will truly transform us inside out, Lord. We thank You for Your faithfulness. Your love endures forever, Lord. So, Lord, we continue to be in awe of Your presence, Lord. We come before You with grateful heart. With shouts of joy, because You are our God. This is our God. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to welcome two of our members to come and give thanks and give a testimony and thank the Lord for what He has done in his and her life. All right. Maybe we start with ladies first. Ken? Vicky, come, let's welcome Vicky. Yeah.
Blessed afternoon, brother and sister. I'm so happy to get this opportunity for today's Thanksgiving sharing. Let me introduce myself. My name is Vicky. And I'm from Hong Kong, and I became a Christian when I was 15 years old. I moved to Singapore in 2015, and I was attended other churches before I'm here at SAC. I was keeping praying for last 2 years to seek for God to lead me to the church that I can settle down and continue to serve Him. I'm so thankful that God did answer my prayer this year and bring me here. God is very good. He led me step by step. I started to join the Alpha course, church service, and I finally become the church member after the confirmation class in September this year. Now I also joined the cell group and served during the refreshment, and I have made a lot of new friends here. I always believe God will have His perfect timing planning for all of us. I'm sure I'm not a coincidence that I'm here. I will be continuing to pray to seek for His next plan for me. Lastly, I would like to share one of my favorite verses to you all. It's in Psalm chapter 95, verses 2 to 3. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with song of praise. For the Lord is our great God, and our great King above all gods. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicky. We have my double, Kelvin. Please come and let's welcome Kelvin.
Good Hey, my brothers and sisters, hello. When Brother James asked me to share, he said 3 minutes only. I was thinking, how can I do God any justice by giving him only 3 minutes? I can go on for hours in terms of the number of prayers that he has answered in this year alone. Our God is an amazing God, amen. So I most of all want to give thanks that I continue to walk daily with God. All right, sometimes because morning got conference call at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., very hard to put God before the conference call because very hard to wake up early lah. So on those days, I start to feel that I'm very uneasy. All right, so it's taught me that before I do anything, I must always give thanks to God, I must worship Him, and I must always put on the armor of God every day. Otherwise, I feel very uneasy and I feel like I'm leaving the house naked. Indeed, so many things to give thanks for. I have a happy family. I can stand before you very healthy. I'm mobile. I can keep active. I don't have to worry about where my next meal is going to come from. I don't have to worry about what to wear. I have a good job. Right? I can gather freely with all of you to worship God. I can propagate my faith and tell my brothers and sisters about Jesus without worrying about getting arrested and things like that. So indeed, we are very, very blessed. And it always leads me to think, you know, like Jesus said, you who are very blessed, count your blessings and share your blessings with others. So indeed, we come to the end of the year, you know, there are so many things that we can give thanks for, but I would say, in our waiting, sometimes God will always answer prayers that are in accordance to His will and nature as a compassionate and merciful Father. All right, as some of my fellow cavemen know, when things are going well, sometimes spiritual battles happen. All right, my parents had a big, big argument. All right, my parents are in their 70s, and in their 70s is a time where you're supposed to enjoy each other's company as a married couple, right? Retired, do things together and all that. But no, not my parents, you know. They will keep fighting, and because my dad is at home, he gets on my mother's nerves, right? And there's friction and things happen, you know, and my mother will say, how come you're not siding me? How come you're appearing to side with your father? To the extent that I cannot block on WhatsApp, you know. Can you imagine? No? Your mother block you on WhatsApp, no? Walao eh. Right, so I don't have a solution. Right, these are matters of the heart. Right, and what can you do? You can only pray and pray for a breakthrough, and then God has. God doesn't answer to our timing because He is God. It's who He is, and then things never improve. Then my wife said, "Hey, what plan do you have? You are the elder son, and you must have a plan." I said, "I got no plan." Then she got annoyed at me. Like she said, well, how can you not have a plan? Right? You must do something. I said, what is there to do? What can I do? I go and force them to shake hands with each other and say, kiss, I wake up. Cannot, what? Right? Then she was very angry at me because she said, because it's affecting you, it's affecting us. So, you know, even my own marriage also got affected. But I told her, look, this is one situation where pray and hope is a good strategy. And praise God, before Christmas, my parents reconciled. They even went to church together, right? So God answers prayers. So indeed, so many things to give thanks for. You know, one of the greatest joy I have is my best friend in Hong Kong, Antonio. He got baptized on Christmas Day. This is one guy I've been praying for very, very long time. His wife also been praying for him very long. They've been married almost 25 years. He finally became a Christian. So don't give up praying. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. May I have the clip mic on, please? Thank you. Hallelujah.